Justice League International, Bwahaha Podcast, a monthly show chronicling the adventures of the JLI era by Keith Giffen and JMD Mateus. We started with the very first issue, and our coverage goes all the way through breakdowns. We're going issue by issue in release order, tackling two comics per episode, both a Justice League America issue and a Justice League Europe issue. Now, along the way, we're also taking time out for special episodes covering the quarterly book, interviews with various comic book creators, discussing the plethora of spin-off series, cartoon appearances, the infamous TV pilot, and more. And when we're all done, we'll wrap up our coverage by looking at the 2003 and 2005 stories, formerly known as the Justice League, and I can't believe it's not the Justice League. So join me in an ever-changing roster of guest hosts as we celebrate your favorite JLI members, such as...
Batman.
Martian Manhunter.
Captain Atom.
Fire. Ice.
Rocket Red.
The Flash.
The Elongated Man.
Maxwell Lord.
Elrond.
Power Girl.
Renard Rousse. I mean, Crimson Fox.
Guy Gardner.
Metamorpho.
Booster Gold.
Blue Beetle.
Nort.
Justice League International Bwahaha Podcast. Part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Want to make something of it?
This is Adrian Paul from Highlander. And you're listening to the Dead TV Podcast.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Dead TV Podcast, podcast dedicated to any and all television shows in the comic book universe. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mr. Seneca.
And we're continuing our coverage of the canceled too soon DC comic show Powerless. These episodes are so much fun because they're so filled with lore. And it was canceled too soon before its time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's so fun to watch.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. If you would like more comic book trivia nonsense, don't forget to check out my other comic book podcast over on the Spuddy Dude Radio Network, where we're covering Maximum Carnage as part of the Spectacular Sal Buscema era podcast. So on the opposite side of the comic kingdom with Marvel, whereas we're covering DC on this one. But I digress. Mr. Seneca has the plot synopsis for the first episode for us.
Season 1, Episode 6, I'm a Friend You. Originally aired Thursday, March 30th, 2017. When Emily learns that Jackie is in need of some extra cash, she can't help but try to do what she can to help her out. Meanwhile, Van is on a witch hunt and has his eyes set on Teddy, Ron, and Wendy.
So we start this episode off with Crimson Fox leaving the city.
Yeah, she's taking her act and moving it to Metropolis adjacent.
Yeah, okay, because they need more than one superhero with Superman there, right?
Well, I suppose so. He can't be in all places at once, even though he tries.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny. It's like, really? Metropolis? There's not other heroes, cities out there that have crime that don't need a low-level piece of crap D-list superhero like Crimson Fox? I mean, again... Metropolis has Superman, Supergirl, at this point, by the way, there's like five super beings running around Metropolis currently in the comic books right now. Superman, Supergirl, Power Girl, Connor Kent Superboy, John Kent Superboy, Superman, M-A-N-N, the Chinese Superman, but I guess he mostly works out of China and comes for visits in Metropolis.
Yeah, the way that they describe it, it's almost like Metropolis is the big leagues for superheroes.
I do love Emily's t-shirt that I'm a bitch or I'm with a bitch or something like that. And Van's like, inappropriate, Emily! Very ashamed of you.
I mean, true, it is inappropriate for the workplace. But she was dressed in that shirt to go to a self-defense class that she steamrolled Jackie into trying to attend.
I do love the fact that she shows up at the school to talk about like going to Six Flags Metropolis, which... is obviously, first of all, Metropolis, the way they're talking about it is not real. There is Metropolis, Illinois, where there is the home of the actual Superman Museum.
Oh, nice.
And in some unfortunate news, the Superman Museum just lost its founder.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He was 72 years old. He started the Metropolis. He started the Superman Museum many, 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 many years ago. But the city of Metropolis has been crowned the home of Superman. In the middle of their town square, they have a giant Superman statue. And they do host a annual Superman convention there with multiple actors who have played the Man of Steel and other people from the franchise.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's a huge event. I have always wanted to go. Always. Uh-huh. And I've always wanted to see the Superman Museum, too.
Aw, maybe one day, Dr. Chris.
Maybe.
So with Crimson gone, Crimson Fox gone, all the creeps seem to be emboldened. And we focus on one of the creeps, and that is Tony the Hot Dog Guy. And Tony actually has a kind of a speaking part in this role. But what's really weird is that he is so blatant with his sexism and kind of coming on to the ladies. But yet Teddy and Ron don't ever see that until they actually point it out to them. You know, he says, "Hey, sexy lady, come sit on Tony's lap and touch Tony's hot dog." Like, that is blatant sexual harassment. But it doesn't get until the end of the episode where Jackie strong-arms Tony and says, you know, this has got to stop. And then they finally refuse to buy hot dogs from Tony anymore. I would say that this is kind of a microcosm of a male willingness to look the other way towards the bad behavior of other guys if they find that person like Tony funny. Because Tony and Ron did think that Tony was fun. And then once it's pointed out, they're like, oh, yeah, he's definitely talking about his penis. And, you know, by the end of the episode, they have agreed to stop eating at Tony's hot dog stand.
Ron is also in an Van is also on a quest, an investigation, which is ridiculous.
Yes, it's a poop whodunit.
It's not even poop. It's a fly he killed.
Yeah, so Van obsesses about someone using his private toilet and wants someone fired for it. But no one says that they did it, of course. And, you know, he keeps calling the janitor Pedro when his name is Peter.
Oh, God, yeah.
That is a level of, like, racism right there. Like, everyone in a subordinate position in a janitorial needs to have, like, a Hispanic name. Peter tries to correct it with Van several times, but Van just keeps calling him Pedro. So this kind of battle for who used the toilet goes on through the entire episode. And because Wendy, Teddy, and Ron were logged into the system that the day in question, he is supremely focused on them, even moving them into a smaller conference room that he finds uncomfortable to basically make their jobs uncomfortable. But it wasn't just them that used the restroom. Everyone in the office uses Van's bathroom.
Yes, and a cute little montage of people using it.
Yeah. It's like Emily uses Jackie, a couple, an old lady, Ron, Teddy, Wendy, someone in a kimono, someone on a hoverboard, Peter. You know, and then at the very end of the episode, Peter deletes all the files from the toilet cam because he's upset that he keeps calling him Pedro. Like, that is wonderful, wonderful comeuppance.
The this episode is not fun compared to the other ones, honestly. Not every episode's gonna be great and a hit, whatever. But honestly, between this one and the next one we watch, I did not like this.
I mean, it is definitely a bit strained. You know, the sexism, misogyny, and the racism thread that goes through the entire episode, not pleasant. Emily steamrolling Jackie into doing something such as the self-defense class, not cool, particularly. Definitely not as good as our last set of episodes, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. Why don't we move on to the next one?
All right, the next one. Season 1, Episode 7, Van versus Emily, Dawn of Justice. Originally aired Thursday, April 6, 2017. When Emily has to put up a fight to get her own office, she challenges Van to a competition. Meanwhile, after Teddy's life is saved by Green Fury, he goes to great lengths to see her again. This one is definitely much better than the episode than the last episode.
Correct. Now, who plays Green Fury? Who, again, I thought this was Fire. If you know who Fire is, she's a member of the Justice League International. She usually hangs out with a character called Ice. There's a funny moment on the Justice League Unlimited animated series where Flash wants to talk to Fire, and Hawkgirl is just like, go on and talk to her. And he's just like, she's not going to be interested in someone like me, even though he's one of the original founding members of the Justice League. And it's just like, you're probably right. I hear she's Brazilian anyway, if you get what I mean, like, you know, possibly gay. And of course, Flash ends up, she ends up like turning the javelin at a sharp left turn to make Flash fall into her lap. And he's got like a point of view shot straight up into her like underneath her cleavage.
Well,
a children's cartoon, by the way.
Our Green Fury is played by Natalie Morales, and she was also the voice of Lois Lane in the Harley Quinn TV series.
Oh, really? The current one?
Yeah, the current one.
Oh, then she's in the new season because Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy have set up shop in Metropolis this season.
Oh, excellent.
So she should be on several episodes coming up because the season just started, too.
She was also Abby on Abby's, and she was Lucy Santo Domingo for Parks and Recreation.
Again, what's funny is you type in Green Flame and Fire pops up more than Green Flame. Green Flame first appeared on an episode of the comic book tie-in to the Super Friends.
Oh, wow.
They really, really were like, okay, we're going to use, like, the most unknown people ever.
Well, she is also a director in her own right and directed the movies Language Lessons and Plan B in 2021.
Interesting. Yeah. A lot of people thought this was Shigo, by the way, from Kim Possible.
Oh.
And I was like, no. She's too tan.
Yeah.
It's...
So in this episode, Teddy gets infatuated by Green Fury.
Uh-huh. To the even, you know, like, forgetting his own girlfriend or girl he's dating.
Girl he's dating, Hannah. Yeah, it's a shame that, you know, she gets kind of tossed by the wayside because he gets Twitter-pated by Green Fury. He gets launched off of the balcony because one of the pumpkin bombs and gets saved by Green Fury. And from that point, the entire episode is him trying to get back to Green Fury, like turning on a super bright light, you know, with the Green Fury signal, trying to imitate going off the balcony again, but yet actually goes off and then it gets saved by the Olympian, but doesn't show the same type of infatuation. And in fact, you know, he's a little sarcastic about it. So the Olympian calls him a dick before taken off, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't show him the proper amount of thanks for saving my life, you know. But then by the end of the episode, he runs into her on the street during a date with Hannah, and then in the middle of the date is blowing off Hannah just to, you know, talk to Green Fury, and she notices. It's not an attractive look.
It's such a typical male.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The entire thing with the plotline of the closet that Van locked a spider in, he's all like, the plotline of Van locking the spider in the closet and him being like, wait, you opened the door to the spider, get out.
Yeah, because there was one of the offices that was unoccupied, but because there was a spider seen in it one time, Van freaked out and just kind of locked that doorway and no one goes into that. But because it's an office and she's a senior vice president, she should have an office, which is legit.
She should have
that office.
That Green Arrow game
that she played. Green Arrow darts.
Yeah, that she said she played with as a kid. It's like, okay, well, I guess, yeah, superheroes have been around for several years. So I guess Green Arrow would have been around long enough for her to, you know, grow into adulthood because she said she played it as a kid. All the different villains that are on it, of course, and it's like suction cup bow and arrows.
Yeah, it's really cute.
I recognize Deathstroke the Terminator as one of the villains on the board. Did you recognize who any of the others were?
No, I didn't.
I really wished. I was kind of surprised they would never like have had like a toy like that. I looked up like Green Arrow toys, and I couldn't find many like dart gun kind of Nerf Green Arrow toys.
No, I think that the archery style suction cup games kind of went by the wayside in like 2000s. You know, I haven't seen any of those games around. Even Nerf, I think, uses more projectile versus like suction cup.
Yeah, definitely. There's a place called Ollie's. I don't know if there's any over in Pennsylvania. They have a ton of Nerf guns and bows and arrows and stuff like that are on a huge, huge like clearance.
Oh, wow. I have not heard of a place like that here.
They're a discount store, Castaway stuff from leftover other stores.
Okay. All right. Like an overstock store.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Basically.
Well, Emily and Van compete using this Green Arrow dart game. And, you know, she is purposely losing because her coworkers insisted that things are much better when Van's ego is appeased and he wins everything. And she, for the principal, needs to battle him. And if he wasn't such a loudmouth trash talker, he might have won. But halfway through, she changes her tune and starts to actually compete. But yet, Van does win, you know, by the skin of his teeth, by just a hair. You know, he did win, but he legitimately won against her. And she did not get the office. But the next day, he was so happy from winning. He gives the office new chairs. He buys everyone scones. And he gives her the office, even though she lost.
Hmm.
And she should have been happy at that, but she wasn't. Instead, she points out how all of Van's successes, his wins, were basically given to him. And that he didn't actually win anything in his life, except for maybe the contest with the Green Arrow darts. And it breaks him. And, you know, it's sad to do. And would he be a better person for knowing this? I don't know.
No.
He's a very shallow individual. All he has is his ego.
I mean, yeah, they had that Employee of the Month thing. And one person won it one time. And he ended up getting him fired for taking a stapler or something.
Yeah, something very menial. So, yeah, he's not a very good loser. Because he's never had to do it.
Right. Unlike his cousin, who lost, you know, everything when his parents were killed in an alley. Because he's Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Yes, Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Yeah.
Elmoli explains to him how his parents must have loved him so much that they put up so much effort into making sure that he didn't have a moment of disappointment. And that is what kind of turns around his behavior and attitude. Because, like, he knows that his father doesn't really like him, doesn't really respect him. But the fact that they did put up such an effort to keep him kind of in this winning place.
Bubble.
Yeah, definitely a bubble. Keeping him in this bubble, I think it touched him. And so he was able to kind of pull himself out of that because he does have a legitimate win against Emily.
Maybe it would... continue with some character development if the show ever had continued.
I hope so. Like, I hope that if this were, you know, season two, Powerless, Van's ego would be more in the overall character arc for Van, be a little bit more tempered at the end of season two, so that it's almost like he's growing because he's managing this group of people. Because he does have moments. He does have moments of being a great leader, and he does have moments of being a great executive, and he does have moments of being a good person, very tiny moments of being a good person. But he can be generous. He can remember his assistant's birthday. You know, he has this ability. And I think that if it had gone on season two, an arc for him would have been wonderful.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the notes I have for this episode.
Yep, it's all that I got.
We're at about the halfway mark for this show, and we will be jumping on to a fantasy show when we're finished with this one. It will be the Dark Shadows... Wait.
No, not Dark Shadow. Dark Crystal.
Dark Crystal. Wrong
we're
Dark Side.
We're Dark Shadows. That's way too long.
No. They did the one-and-done season in 1990, by the way.
I know, but that's way too long. We'd have to go into the history of Dark. I don't want to do Dark Shadows.
It would be very easy. They did one season of 13 episodes. But I digress. We're doing Dark Crystal.
Dark Crystal.
Which was on Netflix and got canceled after one season.
Beautiful, beautiful show.
Yeah, unfortunately got canceled. I only saw a piece of it playing at a pizza place once on the TV. I was like, what's this? They're like, oh, it's Dark Crystal. It's a TV show. And I was like, oh, yeah, I heard that was coming, and I never watched it. So we are going to do the Dark Crystal TV show, which is a prequel to the movie.
Yes.
Hmm. And some dark fantasy stuff. They just announced that they just announced the director of the upcoming Dark, the Labyrinth sequel, which they have been, like, teasing about forever.
Hmm.
I don't know about that one. We'll see.
I mean, you can't really replace Bowie.
But the thing is, here's the thing, though. In Bowie, if you ever listen to the lyrics or anything Bowie talks about in that movie, there were other people that were in charge of the Labyrinth before he came along.
Yes.
Yes. The Owl King as well. And there's been books and there's been a ton of comic books that explore who the other people that ran the Labyrinth were and other people in the Labyrinth. So it is possible to not replace Bowie, but have another ruler of the Labyrinth.
It's possible. Like, yeah. You can never replace Bowie. Bowie is king.
But it's just, it's the fact that it's like 40, almost 40 years later, we're doing a sequel is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. And it runs into the possibility of besmirching a beloved franchise to be, you know, when you sequelize something and it doesn't turn out, it just makes the first look a little bit tainted because of it.
Correct, correct. Well, you can find us over on our Facebook page, the Dead TV Podcast. Send us an email, thatradioheart@gmail.com. Our individual Twitters or X. I still use mine. I don't know if you still use yours, despite Twitter's toxic masculinity these days.
I'm actually not really so much on Twitter or X. I have the account. I do.
Yeah,
check it,
Twitter's getting a lot
Facebook
of heat right now
Instagram.
Because of who its owner is, but we all know why. We're not going to get into it, but I digress. Don't forget, you can send us a review on iTunes, Apple, Stitcher, Google Play. Not Google Play anymore. I think Google Play is not doing podcasts anymore. But definitely Amazon has Amazon, iTunes, music, that sort of thing. A lot of people listen
Audible,
to podcasts there,
yeah.
Audible. So we'll have to wait and see. Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon, possible future owner of the Boston Celtics. We'll have to wait and see. That's our basketball team.
I don't know
team.
What's going on these days.
Yeah. But we'll be back in a couple weeks with another exciting two episodes of Powerless, the DC comic show.
Good night.